Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Science Faction, the only show where a scientist, a comedian, and a comedian scientist come together to discuss science comedically.
Hello, and welcome to Science Faction 520. Science Faction, your weekly corona update. The numbers are as follows for today, December 6, 2020. Worldwide infected, 66.7 million. U.S. infected, just under 15 million. Worldwide deaths, 1.5 million. U.S. deaths, just over 287,000. Again, another number that we are tracking here, which we think is really important, is active infections, in which the U.S. drastically leads the entire world with 5.89 million, which is dramatically higher than everybody else. So this may have been a worldwide pandemic, but right now it's certainly a U.S. crisis, especially because in terms of serious cases, we have 26,000. And for the past 4 days, we've had between 2,500 and 2,800 deaths every single day. 2,800 deaths a day. That's a 9/11 every single day. Remember that event where we invaded two countries, destabilized an entire region, killed tens of thousands of people, and spent trillions of dollars? We're having one of those every single day, and instead of having to sign up for the military or wave flags, all you have to do is wear a mask, and we're not doing it. We're also at about 100,000 current COVID hospitalizations since December 1st, and this is where we're really falling into a problem. This is why we're having to go into lockdowns around the country right now. We are filling up our hospitals. This is a real thing. Right now, states are essentially going, shit, we only have a few more beds left, and we are increasing, not decreasing, the numbers of people who are getting sick every day. So what happens when we hit capacity, right? Does, like, California is supposed to hit capacity this month, meaning every single hospital bed will essentially be filled. What happens when you get into a car accident? Do we just go, try Nevada, I guess? Like, what do we do? We're in a very serious crisis here, and it's funny to watch a significant percentage of this country just pretend like it's no big deal. Okay, on to the articles for this week. Article number one, the smell test. A really interesting idea for preventing the spread of COVID has been published this week. So, as a review, about 3/4 of people with COVID lose some or all of their sense of smell, even those who have mild or asymptomatic cases. That's an important thing to remember, because remember, one of the things that's so tricky about this disease is the mild or asymptomatic cases and the fact that people could be walking around not even knowing they are sick, but spreading a very deadly disease. Well, this is a tip-off where even those people who aren't getting fevers, who aren't coughing, who aren't feeling any other symptoms, tend to have this. In fact, you'll find all these hilarious anecdotal cases online of these women complaining to, like, the scented candle manufacturers that, oh, you sent me a candle and it doesn't work. People are commenting, have you tried smelling anything else? And they're like, yeah, I guess nothing's really smelling great right now. And they're like, you probably have COVID. You probably have it. Because again, 3/4 of people, including something like 40% of people who have mild or asymptomatic cases, that is a great telltale sign. And it's something we should be promoting more. And these researchers ran a simulation and they figured out that if we administered smell tests to people every 3 days, we could prevent infection spikes in populations of around 20,000 people. And so they have basically come up with a scientific smell test that you can smell and has a pretty standard regular smell. You can smell it when you're congested, when you have a cough, et cetera, et cetera. Because remember, what we're seeing with COVID is that it's affecting something with the olfactory neurons. And so it really shuts down smell in a way that's different from something like a cold or allergies or being stuffed up or something. And so they've come up with kind of this universal smell constant that you can smell. You smell it when you're healthy, and then every time you smell it again, you'll be able to tell pretty quickly whether or not you have something going on with your olfactory bulb. Now, again, it's not 100% of people who have this. We think it's about 3/4, but that is still a big deal. That's actually a bigger symptom than fever. It is a bigger symptom than coughing, than all the other stuff we've been told COVID does, or as COVID detectors, all those people with the thermometers, the touchless thermometers at the doors of bars and stuff. A smell test is actually much better and much more accurate for this. So this is really, really interesting. Interesting. Now, their idea is let's manufacture a bunch of these because they're dirt cheap. Send them out. People could do them. Like, you wake up every morning, you smell something. If you smell it and you're good, then you at least have some idea that you're okay. But more importantly, if you can't smell it, then you know immediately to quarantine. Maybe even if you aren't going to be asymptomatic before your symptoms arise. That's really, really important. Now, again, this is using a specific manufactured smell test for this study. And that will be the most accurate because, again, it will preclude things like congestion and cold and allergies and stuff like that. But here's what I'm suggesting. maybe all of us out there can start doing a version of this on our own. Instead of a patented olfactory test, how about we just use scented candles, right? You'd have to do this in a really regular way. You would have to have that scented candle in some kind of ability to be closed off. So the ones with like the airtight lid. And then maybe you put that in addition in some kind of like airtight Tupperware or something like that. And every morning you get up and you smell this thing. If you can smell it, it doesn't mean it's foolproof, doesn't mean you can start running around without a mask, but it's a good enough signal. And more importantly, if you can't smell it, now you know something is wrong. That's an immediate sign to quarantine, immediate sign to probably go out and get a real test, test your family, et cetera, and then, you know, isolate yourself. Now, again, the reason I say you want to keep it contained is because you can become accustomed to smell. So if you just have this thing sitting out on your dining room table, you could actually slowly become accustomed to the smell so you don't smell it anymore and then you think you have COVID. So that won't work. But you have to have it in some kind of place where you can keep it airtight. You only take it out once a day. You smell it. You know the intensity of that smell, the flavor of that smell, and you just regularly check it. I think this is a really good underutilized idea because, again, if the official thing, if they're doing the olfactory tests every 3 days or whatever, could stop outbreaks or spikes in population of about 20,000 people, then if we did this every day, even if it just helped a little, what if it helped 10%? What if we could save 10% of the people who are dying every single day from COVID by smelling a scented candle? I think this is really important. I am instituting this in my own family. I'm not saying it's foolproof and I'm not going to go anywhere without a mask just because I can smell something, but this could be a really interesting, useful, essentially free, if the cost of a scented candle, mechanism that could give you early detection and could save lives. So everybody, go get your Yankee candles, go get your favorite eucalyptus smell. Just make sure you're not going to, you know, put it in your house in any other form because you don't want to become accustomed to it. Keep it airtight, hidden away so that there's no way you are slowly becoming accustomed to it as you sleep in the same room. Pull it out every morning, smell it, have everybody in your family smell it. And if there's something up, then immediately you should go get tested. I want to hear from you guys if you guys end up doing this, if you end up instituting it, like I will be doing with my family. I want to hear if it ends up actually catching a case of COVID or not. Or maybe you can tell your friends and let me know if somebody ends up catching the fact that they had COVID because of this. Because we'll call this our interesting science faction COVID experiment. As long as we don't view it as a license to go out and do irresponsible things and just as another added extra step or measure that might help catch this disease, let's go ahead and enroll. So consider yourself part of this N number. If you want to try it, make sure you follow those guidelines I said. Make sure you isolate it so that you can't become accustomed to the scent over and over again. Make sure you get the candle, smell it. Make sure you know, okay, this is what it smells like. This is the intensity. Because remember, you won't necessarily lose all of your sense of smell, but you might lose some of it. So kind of get used to what that smells like. And obviously, you're going to have to account for the fact that maybe when you wake up in the morning, you're a little stuffy or you have some allergies or something like that. But try and pick a really strong smell that you are familiar with enough to kind of know it and know when it changes, and let's see what happens. This is especially important based on another article, where I'm only going to briefly touch on it, that came out this week that looked at when the most infectious time is, meaning like when you get the disease, when are you the most infectious to other people? And in that case, they did a bunch of studies. They did nose and throat swabs to see when you had the most live virus in you and stuff. And it seems like it's early on. In fact, the first to the fifth day of symptoms seem to be when people are the most infectious. The reason that's obviously scary is a lot of people, even when they first start getting symptoms that first day, they don't really think they're sick, or they think maybe they have a cold, or again, the allergies or something like that. So knowing that, going out armed with the fact that when you are very first sick, that is when you are the most infectious to other people, and knowing this stuff about olfactory senses, this might be really important to start preventing infection. So I'm really excited to give it a try myself. And again, let me know if you or people you know who try this have success with it. All right, on to article number three. Speaking of tests, an interesting new one was just developed in Berkeley. So this is a novel test in many ways and really, really smart. It uses a newly developed form of CRISPR and a cell phone to detect the virus. So think of what we do now if you want to get a test. Basically, we have tests that use quantitative PCR. So we swab your nose, and then we take that and we send it off to a lab that has a bunch of expensive equipment that, in order to read it, first has to change that RNA into DNA. And then it has to amplify it with PCR over and over again to get to levels of detection that are big enough that their very expensive equipment in a lab run by an expert can look at it and see and then say, okay, yeah, you're sick, or no, you're not sick, and then give you the results, which is why on a good day, it might take 3 to 4 days. And in general, like, I've had quite a few of these now, and some of them literally have taken over a week. It takes a long time because this is an involved process. It involves labs and expensive equipment and highly trained lab techs that, you know, we don't have unlimited numbers of. And so it's difficult. But what if you could do this at home. This is a really interesting idea, and it looks like it could be real. So this team out of Berkeley used a modified form of CRISPR. They basically built one specifically for this. So not only was this CRISPR doing what we talk about CRISPR does, remember CRISPR goes and it looks for certain gene segments and then, you know, can cut them out. This looks for ones that's specific to SARS-CoV-2. That in and of itself is interesting because much like some of these other forms, the diagnostics, the CRISPR diagnostics up till now also required a transition to DNA. They were looking for parts of DNA, not RNA. So they used a specially modified form of CRISPR-Cas13 that could look through RNA to find this specific segment that is only present in SARS-CoV-2. So it's not going to hit if it's in another related coronavirus, it's not going to hit if it's a cold, et cetera, et cetera. So now you've got this CRISPR-Cas13 that can find gene segments that are unique to SARS-CoV-2. Then they inserted a little instruction that said, you know, when you see this, when you cut this RNA strand, when you see this thing, this one molecule will fluoresce or basically light up in a very, very small way. It's essentially imperceptible to your eye, unless you're in a super dark room, I guess. But basically it says, find this one piece of RNA. When you find it, shoot off a light beam. And so now they have this CRISPR-Cas13 that can do this very specific thing to RNA instead of DNA, looking just for SARS-CoV-2. Then they designed a special tray, like a little tray for this CRISPR-Cas9 with the sample to sit in that attaches to a cell phone, specifically the part where the camera lens is, that keeps the thing completely dark. So that thing is completely dark. There's no light coming in. Then you turn on your phone and you run this program. You let it sit for only 15 to 30 minutes. Again, not 4 days, not 10 days, not a week, 15 to 30 minutes. And the CRISPR-Cas9 goes through that sample. If it finds the SARS-CoV-2, it sees that one RNA segment and goes, boom, there it is. It cuts it, it fluoresces, and the camera on your phone is sensitive enough to pick that up, register on the software app that they've given you, and tell you there's SARS-CoV-2 present here. How motherfucking cool is that? Think about what this means. It means that you can take this CRISPR, you know, you can just have a vial of, you could send it out to somebody, you could send them this tray, or by the way, you don't even have to send them the tray, you could send them the instructions to 3D print their own tray. You do your own nasal swab, you dip it in this CRISPR-Cas13 solution, you put it in the tray, you set your phone going for 15 to 30 minutes, and you can tell whether or not you have COVID. Think of what this would change. Think of what testing like this can be done. It's fast. It's cheap, by the way. CRISPR is not expensive. We've talked about you can get your own CRISPR home kits. So once you start producing this, it's cheap. You can do it at home. You can do it in remote locations. You don't need to send it to a lab. You could be in the middle of the fucking Congo and do this yourself with a cell phone and a vial of CRISPR-Cas13 solution. Amazing. Amazing. It's way cheaper than previous tests. It's way faster. It can be done at home. And assuming that you can swab your own nose, you don't even need a medical professional there, much less a lab tech to run everything, much less the postal service and some kind of notification system. This is amazing. I hope they're able to roll this out soon enough for it to make a difference, because obviously we're already rolling out vaccines, so the vaccines are going to be a big part of this too. But if they can roll this out, and again, I'm comfortable with you just mailing me a vial of this CRISPR-Cas13. I'll jerry-rig my own little tray system. I'll swab my own nose. You just send me the vials. I will do this every day. Every day to make sure that I am safe and my family is safe. This is amazing technology, and hopefully we can get this out to people quick enough. There's not nearly as many hurdles to getting things like this kind of approved for general use as something like a vaccine, so it's not going in your body. Remember, this is something you swab your nose and then you're doing this outside. This is in vitro, not in vivo, so there's not really a danger to you. Very, very, very cool. We have to test effectiveness and stuff. Like, it's not going to be super useful if it only catches one out of 50 COVID infections and might actually be not useful and stuff. But given the time and the turnover and the ease of use and the fact that anybody can do it, you could do it at home. 15 minutes, you could find out right now. 15 minutes from the time you put that swab in your nose, you could figure out whether or not you have this disease. Man, you could start having fucking parties again. You could get a whole bunch of people together, have them swab right before they show up, then they get in their car, they're not allowed to stop at a gas station, they show up to an event, you usher them in, and boom, you can have your prom, you know? Like, this is really, really, really cool stuff. All right, and the last article for today. We covered all the vaccines. Unfortunately, even though I put my episode out last week, there wasn't a new vaccine phase 3 trial published the next day, as it usually was. We'll keep putting this out and hoping that does happen. But some new information came out about the Moderna vaccine, which we talked about a few weeks ago. So this is the second mRNA vaccine that came out. We talked about the first one was Pfizer's, then came the Moderna. They're both around the same effectiveness. They say 94.5, Pfizer says 95, but let's just call them about the same effectiveness. they released some more data that was even more promising. Because not only did it seem to be 95% effective at keeping people from getting sick, but out of the 11 people who received the two doses of the vaccine, only 11 people actually had any kind of symptomatic cases of SARS-CoV-2 versus 185 symptomatic cases in the exact same size placebo group. That's how we got the 95% effectiveness, which again, way bigger than we ever thought we'd hit. But even more impressive than that, Moderna's candidate had 100% effectiveness against severe disease, meaning zero of those 11 people had severe disease. They were all mild. And there were 30 severe disease cases in the placebo group. That is amazing. Now, I'd like to see bigger sample sizes before we decide you absolutely will never get a severe case. But that means that even if you are part of the unlucky 5% in this Moderna group, if these numbers hold, you're just going to get a mild case, which, you know, you could still transmit to others and probably isn't pleasant, but you're not going to be in the hospital and you're not going to die. That's great. That means this shot isn't just a, well, this is going to help your chances. It means you're not going to die. We can guarantee it. You know, again, if this all holds and the numbers stay as we get bigger. Very, very cool stuff. By the way, the Pfizer vaccine was not that much off. I think they had, out of them all, I think they had a similar number. Like I said, they had a similar number of symptomatic cases, about 10 or 11, and only one severe case. So both of these are kicking ass at essentially preventing COVID deaths. Very, very cool. I can't wait to get one. I know there are people who have some kind of hesitancy. That's fine. I would tell you, with these type of samples that we're seeing as N numbers, with the amount of research going into this and the fact that it's an mRNA vaccine, so we're not even giving you like we're certainly not giving you a live virus. We're not giving you an activated protein. We're giving you a strand of mRNA and your body produces that protein. It is hard to even conceive of where the complications would come from. And we have had literally zero major complications. Complications we are seeing is the same thing we see sometimes with flu shots, which is injection site pain, soreness. Sometimes you get some like flu-like symptoms when you first get it. It's basically your immune system reacting to it, but it's not like you're actually getting sick. So these vaccines are going to be a godsend, and it is what will undoubtedly actually finish this whole pandemic off. But up until then, if we could get some of this testing stuff out, we could start returning to some semblance of normal in our lives. Very, very cool news out this week. I hope you guys are excited as I am. And please, if you decide to do my scented candle makeshift smell test, let me know. Let me know how it works for you and your family. Let me know, especially if it catches anything, and how many people you can convince to do it. All right, thank you for coming back for Science Faction 520, where you learned all about the smell test, when you're most infectious during your COVID infection time, how a new test could figure out if you have COVID in 15 minutes using your cell phone, and how not even a single person in the Moderna vaccine group got seriously ill from COVID. Thank you so much for joining us, and come on back later this week for Science Faction 521.
You've been listening to Science Faction. Wait, that's not right.